I don't think he's wrong a lot. Meaning, you know,
I don't think you're wrong about him being not wrong a lot.
I'm fucking burping up from the bottom of my bowels. How often do you think Tom Cruise has diarrhea? We should buy a bar. We should buy a bar.
100%. Cheers.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I had the hottest date last night. I went to this sushi place here in town.
Uchi?
Yeah. And man, this bitch had little chest, tightest little ass you've ever seen.
Really?
Beautiful face, gorgeous eyes.
So funny, I went on a date last night.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I mean, if sex personified was my date.
Really?
You know, blue eyes?
Yes. Did you hook up?
No, I jerked off at the end of the night.
Yeah. Me too. Because I was playing with my dick at dinner.
I'm fucking sweating. That last short rib sushi roll was put me over the edge.
Yeah.
I got so full I was like this. I had literally. Oh.
You know what's funny is that I called the brakes on food, and I realized that if I hadn't said something, you'd just keep going.
I would have
right?
just kept eating.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, man, is it cool if we slow down now? And you were like, oh, yeah.
My God. It's one where they bring out two pieces of sushi at a time, so you don't know you're full.
Yeah.
It's almost like, who can't just have another piece of sushi?
Right.
And they always have another piece of sushi.
And there's like a little... There's a little beat between each time they bring it out. So you eat and you're like, oh, you know, you're talking, you have a drink. And it's like, hey, oh, yeah, here's another two pieces.
I only had two beers, but I had a big thing of sake.
Yeah. And you also were pouring your sake into your beer.
Yeah, I was doing sake bombs by myself. I don't know. I kind of like the taste of it. It tastes good.
You were also pounding those.
I also went home and dyed my beard last night. Watched Earthquake Special.
Wait a minute.
Finished Madea.
You dyed your beard last night?
I did. I dyed right here.
What do you do? What do you use?
I Just for Men. I have a gray patch right here that makes it look like I don't have hair there.
Yeah.
And it drives me fucking nuts.
I'm here.
And so I dyed just that little patch right there. But I was...
Looks good.
No, thanks. It's very subtle. I also have a gray patch on my hair that I dye.
You do?
Yeah, it's weird. You know what's so funny? I felt bad. There was this kid in high school who had a gray spot on mm-hmm. the front of his head. And yeah. I was like Leno used to. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad for him, and now I got that.
Why didn't they do something for him then? There's nothing they could do?
I don't think Jay Leno is the kind of guy that like...
I don't mean Leno. I mean the kid that you're in school with.
Jesus. That kid had a lot of problems.
Really?
Yeah, he was the first kid I ever saw that pulled his shirt out because he was fat. Like, you go like this.
Oh.
I was like, I noticed I was in, and I was like, that must suck. I never pull my shirt out. Now I pull my shirt out all the time, and I have the gray patch. I'm turning into this kid that I used to fucking not like in high school.
Wait, why did you not like
him? I'm turning into this fucking kid.
You didn't like him, though?
I didn't like him.
Did you guys,
smelled
you,
like shoe polish.
Ugh. Did you guys bully him?
No. I never really bullied anybody. I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. Because here's what I've learned about me. Whatever I say, the opposite's actually true.
Oh, listen, that's a good thing to know about yourself. What a wonderful quality.
But I'm just trying to get to come to terms with it.
Yeah.
I don't think I went to too small of schools. Like, I'm sure there was bullying in the all-boys Catholic high school.
Oh, my God.
But it was more like just, I got bullied more than I bullied. Like, there were dudes that fucked me up.
Really?
I remember we were watching a band freshman year. This band was playing. And I didn't know anyone was slam dancing. And this dude, maybe like 280, a fucking lineman for the football team, just senior, just fucking leveled me. And I was on the ground. I got up, and my friends were like, that was not cool. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I think I have a concussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was all boys Catholic high school. You just fought. Like, I remember getting in a couple fights, so I don't know if it was bullying, but.
Yeah, that's not necessarily, unless you're getting, like, jumped, you know.
There were kids that were softer that probably don't look fondly back at, like, just how quick things moved, and, you know.
Yeah.
There's always one kid that was. Sat next to me all through high school.
Yeah.
Also, we had the same last name, same letter. So we sat next to each other all, from freshman year to senior year. Sat next to this kid every fucking day. Every day at chapel. One day I'm in L.A. and he's taking headshots of my roommate.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm from Tampa. My buddy's like, oh, my roommate's from Tampa. And he's like, no way. He's like, where'd your roommate go to school? And he's like, Jesuit. And he was like, oh, my God. And then I walked out of the room, or they walked into my room. I saw him. And I was like, hey, what's up? And you could see in his eyes, he is out of the closet. And he was terrified to say it to me because of the mentality we had. You know,
in high school.
In high school.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he was like, he just went, I'm gay. And I was like, awesome. I don't give a fuck. But I didn't say I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And then it turned out I knew the dude he was dating.
Really?
Yeah, I knew that I had taken acting lessons with the dude he was dating.
Back at Tampa?
No, in L.A. Yeah, and he was an actor. But it was crazy, like, that you could tell. That's happened twice to me. My little brother in my fraternity was gay. I attracted a lot of gay men, I guess. But I think I don't know if this is right, I was more sensitive than the average. I'm a very sensitive person.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I was, like, this one kid was my little brother in the fraternity. He was a virgin. And I remember everyone was like, you gotta get laid, you gotta fuck pussy, you gotta fuck pussy. I was like, hey, man. I remember telling him, because I had a horrible first experience getting laid. I was like, don't do it if you're not ready. And I was like, wait till you find someone. It's totally cool to wait. And he was like, for real? And I was like, yeah. And then I ended up being his big brother. And then I'm in New York. I'm at, 42nd. What's that? There's a MacArthur Park.
Uh-huh.
And I see him. And I'm like, hey. And he's like, he saw a ghost. And I was like, what's up? He's like, nothing. How are you? And I was like, good, good. And then all of a sudden I start doing the math, and he's got his hand in the back pocket of a Puerto Rican dude. And I was like, oh. And he was like, yes. And I was like, awesome, man. I said, so did you ever lose your virginity? And he was like, I did. And
yeah.
A different way. And I was like, oh, cool, man. But I think that's got to be terrifying, to go and live your truth, and then all of a sudden you see someone from your past, and all of a sudden you've got to, I don't know.
I remember in high school, the two things that I remember was one kid who had like a very, what you would describe as like a stereotypically gay personality.
Yeah.
Like the voice, the mannerisms, everything that's like almost undeniably gay, mm-hmm. right? I didn't think much of it other than this guy is gay.
Yeah.
And I knew his sibling, right? Like he had another sibling and she and I were classmates, and she goes, can I tell you something? And I go, yeah. And I'd never had this conversation with her. She goes, I was on my brother's computer last night, and we found gay porn. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, do you think he's gay? And I was like, I could tell that she was like not ready for it. And I was like, I mean, not necessarily. You know, people look at things.
Curiosity.
Yeah, it's very curious. I mean, everything about him seems pretty gay, and now there's gay porn, but, like, I wouldn't.
I mean, if I was a detective, I'd say yes, but, like, if I was a housewife in the Midwest,
yeah, then
really
I
have
would
any life experience, I'd probably say maybe
I'd probably
not.
Say maybe not. And she was like, so he could be, like, just curious. I'm like, absolutely. He could be very curious about dicks and stuff.
The, my two of my little brothers in my fraternity were gay.
Yeah?
Both of my little brothers in my fraternity were gay. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And they picked me. Does that mean that I'm progressive? That even when they were young and in the closet, they're like, birth's a safe place.
They felt safe with you, yeah.
Yeah.
There was another kid who was in high school who other guys had said that at... Because, you know, a lot of times we would go out on Friday night, Saturday night, and you would just end up crashing somewhere in high school, mm-hmm. right? Because party getting everyone gets fucked up. And all these guys were like, had a story about this dude who they were like, yeah, I woke up and he had his hand in my pants and like hand on my leg and like he was playing with my dick. And I was like, what? And everyone had the story. And I hung out with him all the time and I was like,
he never does that to me.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, he doesn't want
to. I'm going to bed. I'm taking my belt off, just so you know. I'm going to be sleeping on my back.
Everybody had this story about him.
There was one dude. There was one dude, a black dude who's bigger than everyone, like larger human being. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how big Tyler the Creator is, but Tyler the Creator seems like a large dude.
He does?
Yeah, to me.
I don't think he seems like a big
seems
dude.
Seems like 6'4 or something.
What?
Tyler the Creator's got to be 6'4.
Really?
I think so. He's 5'6. Are you serious?
That's hilarious.
That's not the right person's. Nobody's last name is Steinkamp.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Wait.
6'1.
Yeah, he seems like a big dude. But that, like, actually, the guy reminds me of Tyler the Creator. Like, he was very charismatic and but he was larger than him. He was probably 6'1 in high school. And he would roughhouse, but his roughhouse always turned into touching you. And he was very fond of me. And like, and I remember we were at the beach and he'd be like, oh, there he is, come here. And he'd start wrestling. And I was like, okay, ow, hey, all right.
And he's like big and strong.
Bigger than me. And I'm like, okay, someone help me, tap out. I would like someone else to do this with you.
Imagine like someone like that decides like, no, you're who I want.
I wouldn't have been able to say no to that guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would have, yeah. That's crazy. How rapeable I must be. Is that a bad thing to say? But like, you ever think how vulnerable you are?
How rapeable I must be.
Like you could definitely, I probably get winded pretty quick. Like, yeah. If, I mean, we're talking like if Conor McGregor wanted to have sex with you, he could.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we both know a guy who was in jail and he walked into the library and saw five guys raping a guy.
What?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Hold on. And he said that he sees it and he was like, you know, and they have him pinned down.
Oh, this is like fucking.
Hold on. And then they ask him. They're like, it's like, yo, Bert. They go, you want a piece of this? And he was like, he just went like, no, I'm good.
Oh, I just raped someone like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
God, I'm so sorry. I wish I had known.
And he said the whole time he was like, fuck. And at one point, the guy that was pinned down was like pleading because they're taking turns, you know. no, it's brutal.
My God, yeah.
This
is a dark conversation.
I know. Then he's pleading with like the fourth one. He's like, come on, man, please. They go, yo, man, we're being nice. We use lube. They're like, if you're a white boy, we would just go without it, you know? So that's the thing is we would get no lube even.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the lubeless
Jesus
penetration.
Christ.
Five guys. And it's in a library. You're like, I hate libraries, you know?
That's the part that just, yeah.
You're like, I'm never going to the library again.
Do you think I, while it's happening, people are going, shh,
be quiet.
Shh, I know.
And then he's like, I told you.
Dewey Decimal System, is that in the library?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, man, that fucking, wow.
You know what I'm talking about.
I think I do now. I only know one guy that's been to prison.
You do?
Well, I know a guy that's been to prison.
Well, actually, there's a few people we know. So yeah. I'll just tell you who it is, but bleep it. Yeah, it's.
I didn't know in prison.
There, well, bleep that too.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Maybe it was jail.
If you're young and you're listening to this, just do not drink and drive.
Don't go to jail.
Don't go to jail. Don't. Just do everything you can. Do not go to jail. It sounds like it's. If you had to go to jail in one foreign country. No, but you get to pick your foreign country.
Oh, Norway.
Norway, right?
Yeah.
Norway, I bet Sweden's got a nice jail.
Yeah, I'd go there.
I mean, there's got to be a better one than that.
Better than that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the best jails in America? Or in the world?
Look at number one.
Norway, god damn it.
Yeah. Oh, New Zealand
would be. New Zealand's got a good jail. North Carolina?
That's like a federal, like, you know, lightweight jail. That's where Bernie Madoff ended up, where, like, you know, they're... It's like, hey, let's go fucking throw the ball around. It's not violent offenders.
Type in Chinese prisoners.
Finland.
Chinese. What? I want to see what a Chinese prisoner looks like. I bet they're fucking terrifying. All I'm thinking about is blood sport. Man. Fucking.
You don't want to be in jail there, dude.
No. Everyone's got shaved heads.
And they're like, what are you in for? I shared a thought.
Yeah, that's right. They go to jail. Fucking earthquake specialist, so fucking funny.
He's got
the funniest fucking line. He's got the funniest fucking line that I could not.
I'm gonna watch it tonight. He's somebody who I geeked out. He was hanging out backstage at one of those Chappelle Rogan arena dates. And I was sitting across the room. It was like one of those big green rooms that like a bunch of people were in. And I was at my agent Andrew was there, and I was like, dude, it's earthquake. And he was like, I know. I was like, we both got up and went over there and just like kissed the ring. We were like, you're the shit.
He is. His special delivers.
Yeah.
It delivers. And by the way, I mean, dude, he's got, I don't want to ruin the line because I want you to watch it because you're going to
see watch it tonight.
The line. But like, it's such a good special. You know, he was the reason I got a deal because of him one time.
Really?
Yeah, so we were doing a showcase.
This guy's always been a killer, too, by the way.
A monster.
Yeah.
So we were doing a showcase for ICM, and it was back when I was with ICM, and Kathy Griffin's hosting, and the lineup is like, it's like, they're like, where are we going to put everyone? And Earthquake's in the back. He's like, I'll go anywhere. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And they're like, well.
I'm going to ruin everybody's night who's after me. But
yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want.
So they put Earthquake third. And they had another comic. I won't say his name, but I'll say it to you. Fourth. Another comic. Believe this. Fifth. And everyone started panicking. Everyone started panicking, and no one wanted to go after him. Now, I had done so much stand-up in New York that for some reason I felt very confident following black dudes. So I felt like our energies were so different. We weren't going to step on any fucking jokes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, they were like, well, everyone's scrambling. Earthquake's just in the back. Like, I'll go wherever. Put me last. I don't care. Put me first. I don't care. I'll go wherever. And where they put him is third. Everyone starts panicking. People start leaving the Laugh Factory. They're like, I'm going home. I'm not even doing a show tonight. Like, I'm not even joking. And so then I said, I'll go after Earthquake.
I have those pieces of shit, by the way, who they're like, you know, you're six. And they're like, I have to catch a flight.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. And then they move them up to second. And then the show's over and they're hanging out in the back of the club.
Uh-huh.
Like, what happened to your flight? And they're like, oh, you're right. I got to go home now.
Dude, I tell them, I was like, I'll follow Earthquake. I'll go after Earthquake. In my head, I'm like, the fuck? If you bomb, it's because you had to follow Earthquake.
Yeah.
And if you do good, people will be shocked. So I, my opening joke, I didn't even realize this. I thought about it on stage. My opening joke was that, Bert. I don't want to hear my name during sex. I don't know Bert's last name you want to hear in the throes of passion. Some chick on top of you going, Bert. And I went, shh, call me Earthquake. And the place went fucking bananas. And I had the best fucking set, and I got a deal.
Really?
A deal. Yeah, it was one of the, that was like a career highlight was that night.
Yeah, because you went into it without fear.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, and as soon as I did that, I murdered for like 8 minutes. I got off stage. They rushed me out the back. They like, people were, it's the coolest life experience I've ever had, is that people were reaching over, like trying to, Bert, I got a script I want you to read. Bert, I want, and then they just moved me out the back door, put me in a car, and sent me home. They're like, do not talk to anyone. Do not. I remember fucking, there were like networks that were like, hang on. They were running out networks, heads of network. And I was like, it was the coolest life experience. I got a deal the next morning.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And it was, and it really was because of Earthquake. Because he had such a great set. The two people before him bombed.
So he basically set you up.
He set me up to murder. Because he murdered, right?
Uh-huh.
And the room was hot. When he got off, it was hot. And I just fucking rode his energy. Yeah. And kind of, my I know my set now. It wasn't that good. But it was great because it was like after Earthquake. So yeah. Everyone was in a great mood.
How often do you think, how many times in his career do you think he's done radio at like a white radio station? Like just stopped in and the host has called him a different natural disaster? Like, ladies and gentlemen, Tsunami. Is playing
Tornado.
And he's like, what?
Earthquake. What a great fucking name.
I mean, it's you can't.
His special is so fucking good. It is so fucking good.
I saw a clip online that was fucking hilarious.
Which one?
He's like, got guys out here wearing a mask 18 months straight. Ain't seen a dentist in 18 years. Just chewing on the side of the mouth.
That's me. As soon as I go, I'm only chewing on the right side of my mouth right now. It's such a good special, man. Yeah. It's like, I'm wondering, who else is Chappelle doing? He's got doing Donnell.
Donnell's supposed to do two more.
Donnell and then two more.
How long? Are they half-hour specials?
I think it was 36 minutes. Made you think maybe a fucking special should be 36 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, although I got to be honest with you, I was like, I want to see more. Like, I was bummed
but
that
it
ended.
But that's why you want to see more.
Yeah.
It's also the argument for like when you're doing live shows, dude. I so believe in this now, even if I don't do it exactly every night, which is if you take a few minutes off your set, get it closer to 60 and say goodnight, people go, I want more.
Really?
If you do 70, 72, something, they might be like, that was great. They don't go, I want to see more. It just goes a little past the I'm good point.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcast.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Last night, while I was watching Earthquake special, all I was doing was realizing my shortcomings as a comic. I don't do this enough.
It's good to have those moments.
Great to watch. Like, yeah. I ended up watching a bunch of specials last night. I just started going like, I haven't seen this. Let me see this.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I went through and watched a couple, and then I finished Medea.
Tell me about some bad ones.
We'll
bleep their name.
Hang on. I'm trying to think, because I know I watched one bad one on purpose.
Who?
I can't remember right now. But I was with the guys on tour, and I was like, I want to show you, because it's not a bad special in my opinion. But what it is a few pitfalls they're doing that are not setting themselves up to succeed.
Who is it?
Please bleep this out.
You have to.
He was not. There's so many things you could just go like, you don't need to say that. You don't need to say that. It's someone who did not watch their material on camera and say, this is what it looks like on camera. Like, if you watch yourself on camera, you're like, record yourself and watch it back, you will inevitably say, unless you're like Earthquake, I don't think he watches himself on camera, but he's so fucking tight.
Yeah.
Like, there's no fat.
He's probably also like 35 years in or something.
You can tell like younger comics that haven't watched it and they go, but it kills. I'm good.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. For when you watch on television, it's got to be tighter. Everything's got to be tighter. You got to trim all that fat. And there's little things that I like. Then there's great ones. There's really great ones like fucking Anthony Jeselnik.
He's great.
His opening joke is the greatest opening joke I've ever
right heard. Right now, he'd be like, well, it's the first smart thing either of you has said.
Yeah. Jeselnik's his. And by the way, like, I do everything. I go, what are they wearing? What's the backdrop look like? Like Ali Wong's. Yeah. I loved Ali Wong's special. Great backdrop. I loved her backdrop. I loved what she was wearing.
Yeah.
And she came out with a banger. And I loved that what the material was all like blowjob stuff up front.
Yeah.
I love that. It made me like, I get excited. Earthquake was fucking amazing. But Jeselnik's opening joke is, have you remember that joke?
No.
It's a great fucking joke. And I'll tell it only because it's special. It's been out for a long time. He said, my friend's wife approached me and said, I can't let you hang out with them anymore. He called me a word that you must have called me. And he was like, did he call you a bitch? She goes, no. He goes, did he call you a cunt? She's like, no. And he goes, it wasn't me. It's his opening joke.
Yeah.
That's his opening fucking joke.
Well, he's a killer, man.
Yeah.
He fucking, you know, nobody writes more concise jokes than him.
I mean, it's real. I mean, and he's fucking, I mean, like with Jeselnik, I couldn't find any flaws. His hair is perfect. He looks like he's in shape. He's got great stage presence. Like,
all right, this is enough, man. He's going to fucking cut this and just start putting it out as a reel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't sit through the whole thing, but.
There you go. You got to pull back a little with Anthony.
But fucking Earthquake, and then I followed up with Madea. That Madea makes me laugh so fucking hard, man.
You had a real soulful night.
I did. Well, Earthquake got me in the mood. Got me in the mood.
Yeah.
Because there's things he does that is, it is very, I texted Leanne. I was like, you have to watch Earthquake special. You're going to fucking love it. Dude, the line he has kills me.
Don't tell me.
It kills me. I watched it five times. I kept going, blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's so fucking good. And then I was like, I need a line like that. I need a line. Like, that's what I want. When I watch a special, I go, like, I would watch Jeff and Justin X. I go, open with a banger, right? Open with a banger. Let everyone know we're here. We're watching a special. I love picking apart what they, you know, the things that I like. Like, but with Earthquake, man, he took you into his world.
Mm-hmm. That's the key to stand-up, though.
Yeah.
The key to stand-up for all stand-ups is, if you can, try to bring the audience. Like, and that's why you can follow anybody, but you got to not make it really about them, you know? Like,
There was a kid that I had to follow one time that I could not get. I couldn't get myself out of his world.
Yeah.
His world was so good that even when I was on, I got on stage after him and I was like, I'm still thinking about his act.
Yeah.
It was so good. He was, he's like I would say alt comic, but he's like I don't know the right way to say it, but like a comic book guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And his act is just was fucking amazing.
Let me ask you something, because I know you've done Dar before.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten into that room? They ever take you to that room that's like a private room at the end of the hall?
No.
Dude, they bring me into this room a couple weeks ago at Dar. And they go, you wanted to see it, right? And I'm like, I think so. What is it? And they're like, you know, it's a the private reception room? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they go, yeah, it's only been presidents, first ladies, heads of state. And I was like, really? So I go, yeah, take me into the room. And so it's just like very old room, like the decor and everything. And they have a blue rug on the floor. And they go, do you want to see the rug that we cover for 52 weeks of the year or 51 weeks of the year? And I'm like, sure. And they pull back this rug, and it's an Edward Fields rug is underneath it, who I guess designs the rugs for the Oval Office. That's the room. This room right here.
Oh, my God. No, I've not been there.
And they're like, oh, you're sitting where like the Dalai Lama sat when he was here. And I was like, really? And then they go, don't tell Eddie Murphy, please, that you were in here. And I'm like, I was going to tell him at lunch Tuesday. And they're like, I go, wait, why? And they're like, because he wanted to be in here. And we told him no, because he had like his whole group with him. And they told me the story of why he how he wore that red leather outfit on Delirious.
What do you mean the story?
So he gets to D.C. a few days before and sends one of his guys out to this shop, a leather place in D.C., and tells him to buy every color leather outfit they have.
No.
So he's like, there
in
was...
a medium?
Yeah. He's like, dude, there was like 8 of these. Purple, black, white, blue, red, like all of them.
Oh my God.
And then he put them all on and did camera tests with them. And walked around out here and just picked the rags. He liked the way it looked. But we couldn't let him in because he wanted to like have this room be his like hangout room. And they were like, fuck no, we can't have somebody in there. Especially like, with the whole crew, because he had like 10, 15 guys with him. Which also, it still blows my mind. Even though it's blown my mind before, that Eddie Murphy did that special at 21 years old. I can't even really wrap my head around that.
I'm trying to, I've actually been thinking about that a lot. Because
21?
At 21.
Dude, here's the thing is that it's not just so funny. It's that if you watch that special and you just watch how confident, like how in control he is. It's like maybe a confidence that you have, maybe you have it now after all these years. And you're like, even though he started young, he was like 15 when he started doing stand-up, that's still, he's only 6 years in when he films that.
Yeah.
It's really like, it's, I guess it really is like a prodigy for.
He's different. I think he's different. And because I was trying to think about, would he have developed, if he had stayed with stand-up, would he have developed and like, because there's some guys that have heat when they're young, because there's something sexy about them when they're young.
Yeah.
But then they don't grow.
Right.
And you're like, but like, would he have grown?
That guy's 21 right there.
He's 21.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's, I mean, I was thinking, who was I talking to about this with the other day? I was like, there's all the black comics have become superstars. There's not many white comics that became superstars.
Hmm.
Like Kevin Hart, Eddie Murphy, Cat Williams, Chris Rock, like
Chappelle. Yeah.
Chappelle. They're like this. It's, we don't think we have any like white superstars. Superstars, you know, like there's in the history of making movies, has there ever been anyone like Kevin Hart?
Maybe Jim Carrey had
oh, yeah, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's a superstar.
He's a superstar in comedy. Will Ferrell's a comedy superstar.
Yeah, but he wasn't stand-up.
No, you're right. He wasn't stand-up.
I was thinking straight stand-up. And Jim Carrey's stand-up wasn't... I mean, it was more impressions.
Yeah, but he did it to kind of launch.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx is fucking funny as shit.
He's so talented.
Did you hear his story about discovering Ed Sheeran?
I heard him say that it was like he had that... Was it like a... He showed up. Ed showed up at this like was it church or like
some, it was like a hip hop thing
and some showcase.
Yeah,
thing,
everyone
right?
was doing hip hop, and then Ed Sheeran came up with a ukulele.
Yeah,
but like Jamie Foxx is an interesting dude because he's always been like the farm league for like talent.
Yeah,
like he discovered it. Like, he discovered people. But, like, I don't think he makes money off them, but he discovered them. And he's got a studio in his house.
Yeah.
And he does not age at all.
Yeah. And he
How old is Jamie Foxx? He's got to be 56, right?
He's definitely in his 50s for
54.
Sure. 54. Yeah. He's got a great story about Kanye hitting him up for, what's that song? I need a little Aretha. You know that?
Oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah. He did that in his studio in his house.
Yeah, that's pretty great. How he didn't, how he was singing it, and then Kanye was like, don't do that.
And she brings like, me money.
That's a different one, yeah.
Oh, is that not
yeah.
Jamie Foxx?
That is. I'm saying it's a different song. But yeah, he said that he was just following his lead. Like, I don't know what this dude's talking about. Like, and then left and that to shoot a movie and then came back and the song was number one. And he was like, oh.
Wait, Jamie Foxx, what's his rise? Like, tell me if you, how do you, what's, like,
Jamie Foxx was doing, was a stand up.
Yeah.
And I think really broke when he did In Living Color and Booty Call.
Booty Call. I remember Booty Call.
He was doing those.
Didn't he like have a TV show? Eric Marlon Bishop.
Yeah, he did his own show.
That's his name?
Yeah.
He had the Jamie Foxx show.
That's true. That was just after, though.
See, that's what you need. You need to, like, that's why he's such a good actor. I'm sure it's natural, but like when you have a sitcom like that for 5 years, 6 years, I mean, it's a big show, but you get to fucking practice every day and take reps and take reps and take reps.
Hey, have you ever seen him play piano?
He's across the board.
Yeah. He would be a superstar in like the 1940s. You know what I mean? Because he would be the guy that could do like sing, dance, act.
Dude, him and Django Unchained?
Yeah.
That's great. Like, that movie is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I could fucking... Okay. Let's do a fantasy draft. Ready? You got to put together an all-star cast for a movie.
All right. Any movie?
No, you. I don't know. Like, you remember when they said Al Pacino and Robert De Niro doing Heat? And then you're like, oh, Val Kilmer's in it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like.
Heat is the shit.
Heat is the shit.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a good movie.
She's got a fat ass.
She's got
and you got your head all the way up it. You got a fat ass.
Yeah.
That's like a superstar movie.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see.
Well, Django has Jamie Foxx, Leonardo DiCaprio. That's it.
No, he's got the Snakes on a Plane guy.
Oh, yeah, Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tarantino has, like, fucking legit talent in all his movies. I mean.
I never told you about meeting Oliver Stone.
You didn't tell me. Because I saw the picture. I'm like, what the fuck? Where was it?
At my friend's house. It was Chinese New Year's.
Right.
I was the only one that dressed in authentic Chinese New Year's garb.
You really love Chinese New Year.
I love it. It fills you with luck.
Yeah.
I'm the luckiest motherfucker in town. And so I got $2,022 in fresh ones. I bought these.
You just walk into a bank for that?
Yeah. No. I have to get, you got to get it ordered.
Yeah.
I order it. Way ahead of time. And then I used to. Back in the day, I just get like 1,000 of fresh ones. But I like to get the amount that is the year. And then I dress in full, authentic Chinese New Year's garb, like silk suit. And it's fun. That's shirtless. I'm shirtless at the time.
He looks thrilled.
Yeah, he was not.
You're this fucking psycho. Yeah?
Well, I fire hosed him. I don't think he stood a chance.
Yeah.
Because he walks in. We're sitting there. My friend Sandy hired like this. I should give him credit because they were fans of mine. This Chinese dance troupe. It's a nonprofit, and they bring a dragon. They bring drums, and the dragon goes through the house and gets all the evil spirits out. And then we feed the dragon oranges, and then. I'm watching this whole thing and just fucking Oliver Stone walks by. I've wanted to talk to this guy. I've wanted to say something to him my whole career because he's the reason I'm in this business. Him exclusively is the reason I'm in this business. It's so funny too because I kind of, like, as I started telling him this, part of me was like,
Did his eyes glass over, and he's like,
"Well, no, it's like, well, what, this is what happened." So, for anyone listening, I'm sure you already know the story, but like, in 1997, that article was written about me in Rolling Stone. There was a dude who took it out and tried to help sell the article. I signed with an agent. I had the same agent as the writer did, and he took it, and Oliver Stone's company optioned the rights to this story. To that article, to be more specific, and that gave me the confidence to get into stand up. Like that was like Oliver Stone optioned the rights to my life. That was like the all of a sudden you're like, well then fuck, I might as well try stand up, you know. So I tried stand up, and then it went well, and then I moved to New York, and I had this confidence of like this guy, his company, optioned the rights to my life. Like that, I'm moving forward. This is going to be a big thing. It's like a momentum. And then I got into stand up, and then Will Smith discovered me, and then the option fell apart, right? But whatever. I wanted to tell him, you know, without you, I don't know if I'd ever be here. So I met him. So one time I was at Good Morning America. Have I told you this?
I don't think so.
And so we're in the elevator. I'm doing something for Travel Channel. We're in the elevator, and they're like, "Can we hold the elevator?" We're going downstairs. I'm doing like a cooking segment with Michael Simon and Mark Sanchez. They're like, "Can we hold for a second?" And I go, and they're like, "Yeah." They're like, "Oliver Stone's going to come in the elevator." So I'm like, "Here's my chance. I'm going to say, Mr. Stone, my name is Bert Kreischer. In 1997, your company optioned the rights to my life. It gave me the confidence to stand up, and I want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you and your company believing in me, I wouldn't be here today." That's what I want to say. He comes in the elevator, and I extend my hand. I go, "Mr. Stone, my name is Bert Kreischer." And his assistant goes, "Bert the Conqueror! Holy shit, my kids fucking love you." And it's his like PR publicity.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh my God, Oliver, this guy is fu-." And then we're going down. "This guy is so funny. He's he does podcasts. You do podcasts too, right?" And I was like, yeah, I do podcasts. And, "Oh my God, Oliver, this guy is hilarious." And the door's open. He goes, "Well, I'm going to have to check you out." And he just walked out, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no harm, no foul.
Right.
I got my chance. Probably never see him again.
Yeah.
See him walk in the Chinese New Year party. And I'm like, I pulled my friend Sandy aside, and I was like, "Hey, I wouldn't ask. I need you to introduce me to Oliver Stone." She's like, "Okay." Now everyone's trying to meet Oliver Stone. He's in the back. He's with his wife, and like everyone.
Is Sandy friends with him?
So interestingly enough, our best friends Tom and Sandy are Tom's mom. Oliver optioned the rights to Tom's mom's life and made the movie When Heaven and Earth Change Places. That's our friend Tom Hayslip. That's his mom. His mom's story. It is, I mean, intense. I know this woman very well. I know her very well. Her story is intense. I mean, the things that I remember, you've met her before.
I have?
Yeah. We did a podcast with her one time.
What?
Yeah. And she was at my house, and she came in. I remember saying, "What was the worst thing you remember out of the Vietnam War?" And she said, "They dropped my brother out of a helicopter into our village." And I was like, "What?" By the way, that's not even the worst. I mean, I don't want to go into her story too much because it's pretty intense. But like, they tied him up to a pole. They put snakes in their outfits. Like, they covered her with honey. Had ants attack her. They thought she was Viet Cong, and then they tortured her. They thought she was on the other side. Tortured her. She got tortured by both sides. And then she was like, "Fuck it, I'm going to the States." And she married this guy, moved to the States. Anyway, that's her story, When Heaven and Earth Changed Places. That's how they know Oliver. She's still good friends with Oliver Stone.
This is whose mom?
Tom's mom. Sandy is Tom's wife. So I said, "Sandy, you got to introduce me to Oliver Stone." She was like, "All right." So they bring me out. What I don't realize is I should have never said anything. I should have just said, because they're like, "Oliver, this is Bert Kreischer. He's a very successful stand-up comedian." I should have left it at that. I don't need to tell the man my backstory, right? I don't need to do the thank you thing. I should have just said, "It's a pleasure to meet you," and say, "I finally met the guy that helped me." I didn't need to. But fuck, I'm drunk. I'm shirtless. I don't even realize I'm shirtless. I have a stack of, I have 2,000 ones in my hand. And he's like, it's just a lot coming at him.
Yeah.
And then I said, "Mr. Stone, my name is Bert Kreischer." I did the whole spiel, and then he goes, "Who optioned it?" And I was like, I don't fucking know. Like, it's 27 years ago. So then I pivot. I'm like, one time I met you at Good Morning America, and I tell him the Good Morning America story, and now I'm confusing him. He was like, okay, do you work for Good Morning America? And I was like, motherfucker. I was like, I'm talking too much. And
I, he's like, are you on-air talent for Good Morning America?
And I was like, we're going downstairs to do a cooking segment with Michael Simon. He's like, who's Michael Simon? And I was like, Mark Sanchez, he played for the Jets. He's like, do you play football? And I was like, no, I'm the machine. And he's like, huh? And I was like, I got involved with the Russian Mafia when I was a kid. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? It was spiraling out of control. It spiraled out of control so bad that I had, Leanne's going like this, stop. And I just go, I just want to thank you. Thank you very much. And I walk away and he's like, who optioned the rights to his life? Like, it's just like, who the fuck did that? Like, it did not go well. So I'm never going to fucking... It's like the first time, I feel like that when I met Joe for the first time, I just fucking put my foot in my mouth every time I went to his door and I was like, big fan, I need to see your dog, I want to play pool, I want to see your deprivation tank, I want to get high, and then this is going to be great. And he was like, I was like, fuck. I'm bad at meeting celebrities. You're good at it.
Yeah, you've said that before.
Yeah, I'm so fucked. Like, Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
I would have fucked that up so bad. What, you be Brad Pitt, I'll be me. Ready?
Okay.
Someone introduced me.
Hey.
Okay, first off, I gotta tell you, I've been making jokes that you are the one guy that could pull me in a closet and make out with me. Just so you know. So if you hear that, like, what the fuck? Why do I start with that? Jennifer Aniston, for safety. You ever see that video? Why am I talking about your ex? Motherfucker! Like, what the fuck? I'm not the guy that can meet celebrities. I told you about the time I met Tom Cruise. Is that the Magnolia premiere? Pull up a picture of Tom Cruise in Magnolia. He's Tom Cruise in Magnolia.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And
he's like the cum whisperer or something, right?
The pussy magnet or something.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like that. Mm-hmm. Exactly like that. Same hairstyle. I bump into him, turn around, I'm face-to-face Tom Cruise, and I said, you have beautiful hair. And he's like, and just walked away. Fucking.
That's the right thing to say, though.
Yeah, as opposed to, great job in that movie.
Yeah.
You have beautiful hair.
I mean.
Tame the pussy.
You think he's, oh yeah. Is that what it was? Tame the pussy?
Tame the pussy.
Do you think he, like, he's really impressive in bed?
I bet he's a generous lover.
Yeah. I bet he intensely stares at you.
I bet arguing with him is fucking intense.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you walk away going, wait, am I crazy?
I bet not a lot of people are right when they argue with him. You know?
Well, I don't think he lives in a world where he is wrong. Meaning, I don't think he does a lot of things out of where wrong and like lands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ultimately, it's kind of like, he lives in my tour bus, like, in that world, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not wrong a lot on that tour bus, mostly because it's my job. Like, I'm not asking people to do crazy fucking shit, but, like, I'm kind of the boss. Like, without me doing these shows, no one in that tour bus moves forward, right? So then, meaning like that tour bus is my office.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not going to be wrong a lot in my own office.
Right.
And so I think his office is his whole world, because his whole world is Scientology. I don't think he's wrong a lot. Meaning, you know,
I don't think you're wrong about him being not wrong a lot.
I'm fucking burping up from the bottom of my bowels. How often do you think Tom Cruise has diarrhea? We should buy a bar. We should buy a bar.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know how often Tom Cruise has diarrhea, but I think it's probably not that often. I think he's probably pretty healthy.
I'm going to change my lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit drinking.
How long?
I don't know. Whatever. Like, name it.
6 months.
Let's do shorter, but I mean, obviously. I thought you were going to say a week, but yeah.
Okay, three months.
2 months. Two weeks.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to do 2 weeks. I'm gonna reclaim my power. I'm gonna not drink today.
You told me to name it.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't name the ones I liked. This is what Tom Cruise does. See, I'm living in my world. My world is my truth. So I can't be wrong in my own truth, right?
Right.
So I kind of want to, like, I looked at Danny today.
Yeah.
And he just didn't look hungover. Like, he didn't look sick to his stomach.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I wonder what that feels like. And then I was like, I can feel like that.
That's what you got from Danny today?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He just looked like he was having a coffee, and I was like, oh, he's not worried about getting a panic attack after the coffee. Like, he just sits there and with a full head of hair and just smiles.
Yeah.
And then I looked at you, and I was like, you did the same shit I did. How come I'm so much worse? But then I realized it's because I drank first thing in the morning yesterday.
Oh.
And I did not have any governor. I do not remember what we said on that second podcast. I don't remember any of it. I was like, was I shitting on Britney Spears?
Let's look at
bars,
mugshotties.
Oh man, have you this?
Yeah, this is good.
Mugshotties is
it's just like varying degrees of cute girls that have been arrested in their mugshots, and then it usually has, if they know it, what they were arrested for. A lot of DUIs.
A lot of DUIs, but the ones I like
some
are
shoplifting.
Like, the ones I like is like possession of a firearm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's interesting? Oh,
shoplifting.
Shoplifting. She's a child.
I mean, but she should be able to get out of that, right? Don't you just offer a favor?
She should be able to get rid of that. This one. What's this one?
Disorderly intoxication and assault on a police officer.
Yeah, she's got that tattoo on her chest.
She's got big lips.
She's got big lips and she's got drunk eyes right
Very
there.
Drunk eyes, yeah.
She's a human. Like, she could be watching this and we're, like, talking about her. What's interesting is there's got to be, like, they're bad girls, right?
Yeah.
So is there, like, do you notice one feature? Like, I was saying the nose. If you go back to the main page, Nadav, their noses. Like, not a lot of button noses, a lot of, like, sharp noses.
Interesting, yeah.
A lot of sharp noses where, like, keep going. Like, that girl's had plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the one. Look at the German terrorist. Go stop. They're right there below her. The German terrorist. No, to the left. Doesn't she look like what was hers?
Criminal damage of property. Oh, this is her boyfriend, I'm sure. There's a lot of, like, taking revenge out.
Defacing of a police memorial.
Deface criminal damage of property. Oh, really? Of a police memorial. All right, so maybe she's a activist.
Yeah. She's a liberal. Like, you can tell she's liberal because of her eyebrows.
And her stupid fucking turtleneck.
Her fucking dumb haircut. Like, she can tell. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can just tell that she's politics are, like, number one on her list.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she does not take care of her eyebrows at all. Like, they look like two caterpillars.
And that's a liberal chick for sure.
Yeah.
Because a hardcore right-wing chick has great eyebrows.
Great eyebrows. Let's go find... Yeah. Find someone on there that committed a hate crime. Let's see their eyebrows.
How fucking crazy is this girl in the middle? Up one.
Up one. You, that girl...
Yeah, right there.
That girl comes with an arrest warrant.
Yeah. Possession of a... I mean...
She looks so...
Well, they're cold.
Cold?
Soulless, dead eyes. 1,000-yard stare.
You know what it is, though, right?
She'll follow you fucking home.
Her boyfriend, they got pulled over, and her boyfriend's like, yo, I got priors. I need you to hold this.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, that's what I do. That's how... By the way, all of these, like, I'm praying that my daughters don't ever end up on mugshot shotties.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because this girl does not look like she has a good relationship with her dad. Her dad does not look like he's in her life. She looks so fucking angry. Keep going. Let's see.
She's a FGTR titty, though, for sure.
FGTR titty?
For girls that ride till death, she's a ride or die, you know?
She is, man. She's who you want. Like, if you get into a fight, she jumps in.
Yeah. God, you got to love that loyalty, right?
Yeah.
When you sense that loyalty.
Ooh. Keep going. Oh, my God, right? Dead center.
Yeah.
Dead center. Who is she?
I got a DUI, baby.
Yeah, she did. It's interesting. Do girls not do their eyebrows evenly anymore? Like, that one's like, it looks like a hawk taking a turn.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh.
You can tell she's entitled.
She got her lips done.
She's got an entitled look. Yeah, she does. She did get her lips done.
It's funny. Lips, when girls get their lips done, it looks great on camera. But in person, you're like, what the fuck?
Listen, well, you can also do too much. She got too much for her
face. She looks like she might have gotten too much. Mm-hmm. We're going to get fucked up by one of these shoddies. And come to our show and like, you remember me? And like, no. She's like, possession of a firearm, motherfucker. keep going. Let's see. Whoa. Who's... You tell me who you like, Nadav. You can keep going, scrolling until you find the one. Oh, she looks happy.
Yeah, this one looks nice.
Possession of marijuana, DUI.
Yeah. She's cute.
She's adorable. Her dad forgave her.
Yeah, it's like it's your first DUI. Let's just not let it happen again, okay? She's going to drive her 3 Series again next week.
She's got money. She comes from money. Mm-hmm. I love backstories on these. Ready? Let's build an entire backstory off of it. Give me someone that has a real fucking conviction. Like this fucking, keep going. Scroll down.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now a couple of things. You see the left right here?
Yeah.
Her and the one above her, both of those two, not their first time getting arrested.
Yeah, go to this one.
Well, third degree murder.
What?
Yeah. For supplying drugs to a man that overdosed for them. Yeah. She's going to go bye-bye for a while.
She supplied drugs to a man who overdosed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is that her fault?
I mean, the law.
I know. It's like a kind of a wonky law.
It is kind of wonky. You're like, I'm just fucking selling drugs.
I was just partying.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know there was fucking fentanyl in it.
I know. Like, such bullshit.
It's kind of crazy. Like, they're talking about, she just looks...
Now, how about the one below her? Is that also a serious crime? Because she has a real look to her. Oh, it's just DUI again.
Driving while intoxicated. Oh, she cried. You can tell. Look at her makeup.
Yeah.
She cried, tried to get out of it. Yeah. They were like, nah.
Nah.
Put this top on. Let's see. Like, find me one that's got the most likes. Just hover over them. Who's got the most likes? Keep going. Scroll down.
Oh, that one has a lot.
Where?
That 8,800.
Ooh,
that's a lot.
Who's she?
Speeding and reckless driving. Now, she's fun.
She fucking parties.
Yeah.
She is fun as fucking shit. And it looks like she's had a stroke. Like, one of her eyes is a little shorter than smaller than the other. She fucking parties.
Melissa.
She's a chick.
This is a red light. She's like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. She's a good time.
Fuck it. We only live once. I'm going to suck your cock while I'm driving.
Yellow. Is her
Whoa. Who is her?
That's a lot of likes.
What did she do?
Drug trafficking. Oh, yeah, this is in Mexico. That's why the photographer backed up. He's like, hold on. And narcos affiliation in Mexico. There was a slight nip slip on the mugshot that I had to cover on Instagram, uncensored on Twitter, though. Jesus.
She worked for the narco traficantes?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
by the way, I think we're done talking about her. That's a good, nice picture.
Yep. She's a beautiful. Oh, look at this little party girl to the left, bottom. No. Oh, this girl.
Yeah, she's cute.
She fucking gets down. She's sick. Driving while intoxicated?
Yeah.
Impaired. She was doing something else.
So
she was eating mushrooms. God damn it. I've dated chicks like this.
I mean, she's cute. She got the nice tattoo on the chest. Good girl.
She's like, fuck it.
She's posing like this is a fucking headshot.
That's what we need to get our headshots down, our mugshots down.
Yeah.
So that we're ready when we get the mugshot.
I got to do the Pablo Escobar.
What's that?
His first one.
I was going to.
Oh, man. It's so great.
Pablo, I think I'm going to do the Nick Nolte.
You got that down. That one. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's posing like, oh, you, really? Okay. Yeah, it's great. Now, he's not a nice guy. I want to point that out. I found out. Yeah, I don't want to glorify. No. I talked to some DEA guys. He was a real goofball. And he yeah, he did some really rascally stuff. But I'm just saying, for that to be your mugshot where you're like, I mean, he's that's menacing. Like, he's smiling at the police. Like, by the way, this won't be the first time you take a picture of me.
Yeah. What would he get arrested for on this one?
I'm trying to remember. I know that they had pulled him. Like, he was driving, but I forget what the what the arrest was. Can you find out what first arrest was for? I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was.
If the show was accurate, it was
drug related, right?
It was because he was traveling across the border. They just like he paid them off, right? All the cops, and then they just said they realized how much they were getting shorted, so they were like, "Fuck it, we're gonna arrest you if you're gonna do that to us." If the show is accurate,
Well, the true story behind Pablo Escobar's smiling mugshot.
Is this it right here? When you look at the story of some of the most well-known criminals, you'll usually stumble on their mugshots. In that photo, somewhat unusually for a police mugshot, he's smiling, which is true. Okay. Scroll. Escobar was eventually shot and killed, 93. Da-da-da. It's not worth noting. We're not sure. We can't know for sure why he's smiling. He never said anything to explain his expression. However, the most popular theory is he was toying with the police because he knew he'd be released. Yeah, that's true. Funnily enough, that's exactly what happened. Before he went on to become one of the biggest, in May of 97, Escobar and some of his men were arrested for transporting cocaine. Oh, it is drugs related. Okay. Anything underneath it? Apparently, they found 40 pounds of stuff in a spare tire. He was gaining infamy for his policy of plata o plomo, which basically means silver or lead. Either take the bribe or I'll kill you.
Silver or lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pato, what is it? Pato plomo?
Plata o plomo.
Pata o plomo. That's what you should call your special.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Pata o plomo.
That's a good idea, actually. This time, Pablo was able to bribe his arresting officers. He was taken in. As he sat in jail, the case got handed to several different judges, but none of them got around to assembling the case. Meanwhile, his arresting officers were mysteriously killed, and his case was dropped with all record of it apparently disappearing.
Jesus.
He was smiling because he knew he would get out of it. Okay.
What are other great Instagram accounts to follow? Like that mugshot shot is a pretty great one.
Yeah.
Like it's fun to kind of scroll through.
McDojo Life, that's always a fun one.
There's a bunch of ones that like House of Highlights.
Yeah,
like,
that's fantastic.
That's a good one. See if there's a thing. Top 10 Instagram, the history one. What's McDojo Life?
You haven't seen that one?
Uh-uh.
That's the guy that like breaks down all these bullshit martial artists. You know?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
people
yeah,
like
yeah.
being like, I'm going to hit you with an energy ball. Like all this shit. And like he just, you know, puts them on blast basically. Yeah, like that.
Is that guy a black belt?
In fucking eating. Yeah, look at that gut. He's a black belt in fucking burritos. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, it's all these like whack job.
Yeah.
Who claim to be teaching people martial arts with just bullshit.
Hold My Beer is a good one.
Hold My Beer is funny. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Anyway, there's tons of this magic karate chopping. Yeah. Mugshot Shorty, that's a great idea.
What's
like,
a
concept, you know?
Yeah. What's like one where like I like the idea. See if it's like top 10 Instagram accounts to follow. Do you know what can I tell you something that bothered me? And I want to thank the people that put us on this list because it's a compliment. But it was a weird compliment. It was never mind. Doug the Pug. Who's that? Humans of New York?
No, these are just like no. Those are garbage. Don't even show that list.
Yeah. We got put on a list of top celebrity podcasts.
We did?
Yeah. And we're not celebrities.
No.
Type in Two Bears, One Cave, top celebrity podcasts. It was an article. It was really kind of them to put us on the list, but it's so not how I identify us as. I identify us as podcasters. Go to news. Oh, I don't want to say, get out of here. I don't want to see anything about myself in the news. That was a bad fucking idea. Let's fucking just start panicking. Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
Fucking Jesus. It was the guys Will Arnett, and they have one.
Oh, yeah. It's called Jason Bateman.
Yeah, it's like the white list or something.
Unsmart or Smartlist.
Smartlist was on there, which, okay. And by the way, no shade to anybody, but like, I get it. They are celebrities, and then they decided to do a podcast.
Right.
We've been doing podcasts for fucking 9 years.
I know. We're so much better at it than them. And, no, really.
Jason Bateman. Everything he does is fucking hilarious. That stupid fucking commercial where he played like 9 different people in history.
Yeah.
Every single one of them was funny.
He's
so fucking good.
He's so good.
He is so fucking good. I was so in love with his sister growing up.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he's so good on Ozark, man. He's so
amazing, dude. Yeah. What the woman he has sex with, his wife, Kathleen, whatever her name is,
mm-hmm.
I don't know her name is, she is... When she fucks in that,
yeah, Wendy Bird,
is that her name?
Yeah, in the show,
in the pilot episode, she has sex with someone, mm-hmm. and she does it like a real woman. Like, it's so funny. Her, what she put into it is what porn stars are missing.
Right,
like the way she did it, I was like, that's how women fuck. That's how women fuck, not how, suck it, fuck it, like that shit.
Yeah,
the way she did it, I went, it hit me. I went, wow, that's how MILFs fuck.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Laura Linney.
But it was Smartlist. It was I think it was like the Always Something in Philadelphia guys.
Yeah.
And like, it was all celebrities who did podcasts.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're not as famous as any of these people.
No.
Let alone we've been podcasting for a long time, and and they probably put more effort into their podcast than we do.
Oh, fuck them.
Yeah.
All those people fucking suck.
That's right.
Fuck you. All right. We got to get out of here.
All right. I got to take a shit.
Don't go take a shit. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
I had to take a shit in the middle of the night last night.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to go back to bed after you take a shit?
Yeah. Did you wake up and
I
shit?
I woke up, shat, and then got back in bed, and I was like, I think I have to shit again. And I got back up and shat, and then got
Jesus
back in bed,
Christ.
And I was like, I'll just sit on my phone until I have to get up.
Okay.
It's a great way to end a podcast.
Yeah, that was great. Love you. I love you, too.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call 2 Bears, 1 Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call 2 Bears, 1 Cave.